of Judges. All right. I'll be Judges chapter 5. Judges chapter 5. And I'm going to start at verse 1. Judges chapter 5, verse 1. Then sang Deborah and Barak, the son of Abiniam, on that day, saying, "Praise ye the Lord for the avenging of Israel, when the people willingly offer themselves." D.L. Moody was not very educated when he started his ministry. And whenever he'd read the Bible and he'd see a hard passage or name or something, and he admitted this later on in his life, coming in the text, he would start reading, then he'd stop. And then he'd start after that verse that was hard, and because he didn't know how to read it very well. And, of course, he became one of the greatest evangelists ever. But he didn't have all the education and all the head start in life, but God still used him. And verse 2, I'll read that again because it's part of our verses and what we're talking about. "Praise ye the Lord for the avenging of Israel, when the people willingly offer themselves. Hear, O ye kings, give ear, O ye princes, I will sing unto the Lord, I will sing praise to the Lord God of Israel. Lord, when thou wentest into Seir, when thou marchest out of the field of Edom, the earth trembled, and the heavens dropped, and the clouds also dropped water." This is Deborah writing a song, the judge, and they're writing a song of praise for victory. And you find this in the Bible. We will run across a couple of these in tonight's message. But when God gave a great victory, they stopped and sang a song to God. And Israel did it after the Red Sea. They did it many times. They did it here with Deborah. David did it at times. And whenever there's a great victory, they stop, they wrote a song, and they praise God. We are not good at stopping. We just keep on going. But they would stop and say, it is time to stop and praise God and thank him for what he's done. And this is the song, and just so you know what it is. In the days of, verse 6, Shamgar, the son of Amath, in the days of Jael, the highways were unoccupied, and the travelers walked through byways. The inhabitants of the village seized in Israel, until that I, Deborah, arose, and I arose a mother in Israel. They chose new gods. Then was war in the gates. Was there a shield or spear seen among 40,000 in Israel? My heart is toward the governors of Israel that offer themselves willingly among the people. Bless ye the Lord. And the whole rest of the chapter is going to continue for a long time and praise the Lord. But two important things she says there in that chapter are God blessed the people when they willingly offered themselves. Verse 2, praise the Lord for the avenging of Israel when the people willingly offered themselves. Verse 9, my heart is toward the governors of Israel that offer themselves willingly among the people. Bless ye the Lord. God brought the victory when his people willingly offered themselves. Let's pray. We'll talk about willingly offering ourselves. Lord, please speak now, we ask, in the name of Jesus, that you would take control, that you would do your will, that you would flow freely to speak to hearts. May no one be distracted. May no one's minds be on another thing, and may the message be helpful, spirit-filled, spirit-controlled, and biblically sound. We ask for your help tonight. Please do a mighty work. I need you, Lord, and without you, I can't do it. So I pray you'd help us now and do the mighty work that you want to do. We ask for your help in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a pattern in the Bible when people willingly offered themselves, when people willingly offered, and people willingly gave themselves or willingly gave what they have, God would do a work. And that phrase, it says, when the people willingly offered themselves. It's a pattern. We'll just go forward from here a little bit in the Bible and won't go to all the passages, but we'll go to 1 Chronicles. And you don't have to turn to all these, but you may if you'd like. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 6. Then the chief fathers of the fathers and princes of the tribes of Israel and the captains of thousands and the captains of hundreds with the rulers of the king's work offered willingly. Offered willingly. And then if you go forward to verse 9, it says, and the people rejoice for that they offered willingly because with a perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. And by the way, verse 10, There, wherefore, David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. David said, "Blessed be thou, God of Israel, our Father, for thine forever and ever. Thine is the greatness, and you've given us the victory." Here is a song starting, and it begins with the things of the temple being prepared when the people willingly offered themselves. He used that phrase twice. Again, willing offering, great victory. Willing offering, great victory. And that's the pattern. And we see it there. 2 Chronicles chapter 17. 2 Chronicles chapter 17. And I got the, maybe 1 Chronicles, I might have the wrong verse written down. Let me see if I find it here. Nope, I got the wrong verse written down. Let's go to Ezra chapter 1. Ezra chapter 1. We're going to see Ezra and Nehemiah are going to see the same things. And again, when that happens, they're going to get victory. Just like David did, just like Deborah did, just like many people, when people willingly offer themselves. Ezra chapter 1, verse 6. It says, "And all they that were about them strengthened their hands with the vessels of silver and gold and with beasts and precious things, beside all that that was offered willingly." Chapter 3 and verse 5. It says, "And afterward offered the continual burnt offerings, both of the new moons and of all the set feasts that were consecrated, every one of them that willingly offered a freewill offering unto the Lord." And then Nehemiah, Nehemiah chapter 11, this is the next book of the Bible, in verse 2. "And the people blessed all the men that willingly offered themselves to dwell at Jerusalem." And of course, because they willingly offered themselves to dwell at Jerusalem, the city got rebuilt and they were able to stay there and keep it and keep a foothold for God's people in God's land. It's a very common thing in the Bible where people willingly offer themselves. And when they said, "Okay, Lord, I'm willingly giving you, what do you need?" And when they did that, when they willingly offered themselves, God used it and took what they had, whether it was a lot or a little, they began to get a great blessing, and God began to work, and they got a great victory because people willingly offered themselves to God. There's many examples of this in the Bible, and I want to take you to the New Testament and show you how common this is in the New Testament. First of all, Paul is a good example of this. Paul, in Romans chapter 9, Paul is going to willingly offer himself for Israel to be saved. As a matter of fact, the extent to which he is willing to offer himself, he says, "I want Israel to be saved so bad." And by the way, have you ever got a burden for souls where your heart is broken for somebody? Paul said, "I want Israel to be saved so bad." Watch his willing offering, verse 2 of Romans 9, "that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, the kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, who pertain to the adoption." Paul says here, I would wish myself to be accursed for them to be saved so that I wouldn't be separated from them. You know what that says? Paul says, I wish myself that I would be able to be lost and go to hell so that they could be saved. I would trade place with them. I would willingly offer my soul for theirs to be saved. And boy, that's a burden for souls. That's a love for people. He had it for Israel. He had the burden for Rome. Romans chapter 1. He said, I'm willing to offer myself to see the Romans saved and to go do the work of God. Romans chapter 1, verse 14, "I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." He says, I'm not ashamed. I might go to Rome and I might be persecuted, I might go to jail, but I'm willing to offer myself up that I can go and preach to you in Rome also. He had a burden and is willing to sacrifice himself for Jerusalem. In Acts chapter 21, I told a story how God told Paul, do not go to Jerusalem. He warned him multiple times, and they said, and a prophet came to him and said, you are going to be bound and put in prison if you go to Jerusalem. And Paul said, I do not care. I'm willing to offer myself so that I can win those people in Jerusalem to Christ. And in Acts chapter 21 and verse 12, and when they heard these things, both we and they were at the place besought him not to go to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am a willing offering. I am offering myself willingly. I'm a sacrifice. If that's what has to be for the people of Jerusalem to be saved, then I am a willing offering for that cause. When we willingly offer ourselves to God, God begins to do a work, but we've got to be willing to offer ourselves. Willing to offer ourselves. Paul was also willing to offer himself for the Corinthians. And he did offer himself in many ways for the Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 8, he says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Why? That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So that death worketh in us, but life in you. Paul said, hey, we are being beaten, we are being killed, and you know what? We are suffering, we're persecuted, we're in distress, and we're in pain, and we're suffering. But you know what? If us going through all that is a sacrifice to make you holy and live for God, and if you live because we die, that's great on us. That's a willing sacrifice. Can I tell you, if you would take what you have and give it to God, if you would take and say, Lord, here's my dreams, here's my plans, here's my career, here's my friends, here's my popularity, here's my money. It's all a willing sacrifice. I'm willing to lose it all and die for you. You become a willing sacrifice to the Lord. God immediately has the access to do great things with you. But you've got to be a willing sacrifice. Yeah, we say, I've got my dreams. We say, I've got my plans. We say, I've got my ideas. We say, I've got things I want to do. I've got my time. Don't intrude on my privacy. And yet people in the Bible said, here I am. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my silver and my gold. Take my hands and my feet. And all the things we sung in that song a little while ago, he says, I am a willing sacrifice. I give willingly to you. What do you want to do with me? That's the New Testament pattern. You can cling to your dreams and cling to your plans, but you may not find God does a mighty work and you don't have time to stop and praise afterward because what you held back was what God needed to do a great work. What you held back, a willing sacrifice. Paul again was willing to sacrifice himself for the Thessalonians. For the Thessalonians, many people might be willing to sacrifice for their spouse or for their child, yet Paul, you could go to person after person, the Romans, the Corinthians, the Jews, Jerusalem, and the Thessalonians, and he says, every one of them, I'm willing to sacrifice myself. If I suffer and you do well because of it, it's a willing sacrifice of me. I'm just here to whatever needs to be done and to help you. First Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 8 says, so being affectionately desirous of you, we're willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you are dear unto us. For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable to any of you, we preach unto you the gospel of God. He says, you know what? We are willing to give our own souls for you. I wonder how many of us are willing to give our own souls for some other church somewhere or for your church. I mean, give your life, give your plans, give your dreams, give your money, very literally die for the cause of Christ. A willing sacrifice to God. He says, we were willing to give your own souls. When Paul died, he was empty of everything that was Paul's. And everything, he says, all those things, my background, my past, my money, my education, everything is all but dung that I may win Christ. And I've suffered the loss of all things. But he willingly sacrificed all of those things. Very few Christians ever go sell all you have and give it to the poor. Very few Christians would ever give up their 401k, their life savings, or very few of them would give up their own life. Very few Christians really understand what it is to be a willing sacrifice. And Lord, if my life is, if I'm going to age faster and I'm going to be more tired, if I'm going to suffer, whatever it is, I'm a willing sacrifice. Somewhere along the way, I have not slept enough. And it's been, I had about 17 years of chronic bad shortage of sleep. And I said, I don't mean I slept 6.5 hours. I mean, I was working a full-time job at midnight and starting the church. I was going to Bible college and working a full-time job and raising a family and working 30 hours of ministry on the weekend. And I had years where I slept 3.5 hours a night, years of my life. And somewhere along the way, my brain said, you know what? I'm worn out. I'm going to quit remembering things. I don't mean the normal aging thing. I mean, I had a very good memory, and it went to a very bad memory. And I know what happened. I abused my brain. I abused my mind. I'm probably 15 years older than I am mentally because I've been awake so long. You say, oh, it's terrible. Your whole memory is messed up and ruined. Folks, if that's all I have to sacrifice for Jesus, I've done nothing. I'm not being fed to the lions. I'm not living in the darkest jungles of Africa, fighting malaria and lions attacking me. I'm a David Livingston. You can get to hear about that next Sunday. I'm not really. Listen, if God's going to make me age a little more, make my hair fall out a little bit earlier, that might happen someday, by the way. And God makes me age faster, and I lose a little sleep, and I have a bum leg, and I have to go, and I sleep a little less on certain days of the week, and I get made fun of when I go witnessing. You know what? In my finances, I have to struggle with those or whatever. You know what? I'm willing. We're supposed to be a willing sacrifice to God. And I feel like I have done so little sacrifice to the cause of Christ. I feel like I've done so little real giving. Listen, my life is still so blessed. I mean, I feel like I have really, when I get to heaven, I'm going to look at some of the people around there, and I'm going to look around, and I'm going to say, a willing sacrifice. Willingly lose sleep. Willingly lose food. Willingly get embarrassed. Willingly lose your dream. Willingly giving up your dream career. We've had missionaries come through here who gave it up. I think of the Trox, who he was the project manager for a very advanced defense things at Boeing that I probably can't even tell what it is, but very good career job. Off to Uganda he goes with 11 kids. I've been to his house. He had about a 5,000 square foot log cabin on 5 acres. And then he moved to Uganda. I think of one of our missionaries, the Gondermans. He was a fireman doing very well for himself. Had a great career. That's what he always wanted to do, is be a fireman. And God said, sorry, you're going to Australia. Listen, a willing sacrifice. We have people who are too worried about their careers and their dreams and what they want to do. And so often that God says, I need a willing sacrifice. Anybody want to willingly sacrifice your life, your dreams, your plans, and give it to me? And just whatever I say, do, and take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. He says, when you do it, you're going to be singing a victory song afterward. And yes, those people who gave their money and gave their jewels to the temple and gave all their wealth away and willingly sacrificed what they had and said, this is God's house. I don't think they're regretting that now because they're part of willingly sacrificing. But it wasn't just the Apostle Paul. How about the Galatian church? Watch how they're in the book of Galatians willingly sacrificing themselves. And we can go to the Philippian church and other churches, but we'll just go to the Galatian church. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 15, we believe Paul had eye problems. And verse 15, it says, where is then the blessedness ye spake of? For I would bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them unto me. That's sacrifice. He said, you love me so much and you were willing to sacrifice so much for this cause of Christ. You would have plucked your own eyes out and given to me so I could see good. That is a willing sacrifice. How about the greatest sacrifice of all? How about Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2? Ephesians right there, next book of the Bible, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2. And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. The greatest sacrifice of all was the Son of God say, crucify me, I give myself a sacrifice for mankind. Jesus Christ became our sacrifice, the Bible said. He willingly offered himself. The Bible says he could have called 10,000 angels. He could have called legions and legions of angels. They could have delivered him from the cross. He could have destroyed the whole world. He could not come. He could have stayed in the comforts of heaven. And he says, I'm a willing sacrifice for the souls of mankind. If Jesus was willing to be a willing sacrifice for you and I, how can we not be a willing sacrifice for him? If the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of heaven, is willing to be a sacrifice and give his all in his life and come out of the comforts of heaven and be rejected and a man of sorrows and die on a cross and be beaten and crucified, if he would be a willing sacrifice for your and I sins, why wouldn't we be a willing sacrifice back to him? Why wouldn't we? Christ for us was a greater sacrifice. Let me say this, if you're thinking about being a willing sacrifice or giving God something as a sacrifice or saying, whatever I have, God, it's yours. And by the way, sometimes when you say, I'm a willing sacrifice and everything I have is yours, God, sometimes he does not call you for it. I did not have to go to some dark jungle. I'm from the Northwest. I went to the Northwest. My life, I feel, is good and blessed. Now, I was willing to do those things, but God didn't ask me to go to, and I'm willing. If he wants me to go to the darkest corner of the world, I'm willing. However, he didn't ask me to do that. But if I'm not willing, something's wrong. And before you decide if he wants your sacrifice, whether it's your time, your effort, your mind, or anything else, don't decide by whether you think it's useful. Or whether you think it's enough. You say, Pastor, I don't have the ability that you have, or I don't have what the riches somebody else have. I don't have that gold that somebody else has. Look up here, guys. Look up here. I don't have what somebody else. I don't think God has. I don't think I have a ton of stuff that God needs. I don't think if I sacrifice this stuff for God, I don't think if I willingly offer myself to God, it's very much and very worthy and very great. But wait a minute. There are some stories in the Bible of people who sacrifice some things for God, and God said, that's a lot. How about a widow with her two mites? Amen. And God said, she's given more than them all. We would have said she doesn't have much of sacrifice. What's the big deal? But the Bible says she gave all that she had. That's right. How about a little boy who gives his five loaves and two fishes? Well, Jesus, if you want them, it's five loaves and two fishes. You can feed five people with them, but it's not going to feed this 5,000 men plus the women and children. God says, you know what? I just need a willing sacrifice. I can feed 5,000. It's not a problem. I just need a willing sacrifice. You plant the seed, I'll grow an entire acre. Amen. And God took that little sacrifice and fed 5,000. And can I say, if you would give your willing sacrifice of what you have, whatever it is, to God, God would say, that's plenty. I got something to work with now. And at the end, you'll be singing praise to God of what he did. But if you're not a willing sacrifice and you hold it back, that little thing you have will die in your hand and never germinate and become something great and fruitful, because what you have is what God wants. He can do the blessing. You just need to be willing to sacrifice and be willing to let it go. The Bible commands us to do this. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. God says, I want you to willingly offer your bodies. Willingly offer your bodies. That's a command of God. I'll close with this. Revelation told us yesterday and told me yesterday that he went out, and this man named Don Moore, he had maybe been saved younger in his life. He wasn't sure, but he got his assurance of his salvation. He was the first person that Brother Lason baptized when he took over this church down there in Rainier. And Don Moore had grown. He was a rough guy, living in a little tiny trailer with a couple dogs and a cat. Didn't have much. It probably wasn't in real good health, and had done a lot of things in his life to blow his life, to estrange himself from his family, and burned his life up for nothing. About a year ago, he got right with God, got assurance of his salvation, he got baptized, and he began to serve the Lord and began to grow. He got back in contact with his family and started restoring things and quit his bad habits and quit his drinking and quit all that stuff. And last Sunday, he said to Brother Layson, he said, "Pastor, I'm not that young anymore," but he says, "all I want to do with the rest of my life is use my life to see as many souls as possible saved." And on Wednesday night, he was run over by a drunk driver, two cars behind his pastor. He died in his pastor's arms. That story of him dying with his pastor right behind him and watched him get run over went in the news. Brother Layson told me, "Pastor," he says, "Brother Byram, my website is just spiked with hits from all over the place." He says, "We think we're going to have a real big day Sunday with people coming to this funeral. It's a small community. Everybody knows him. We're going to preach the gospel. And he might be able to win more souls by his dying than he could have by living." "Pastor, it's all I want to do with my life," he said last Sunday, "is use my life to see as many souls as possible saved." They say, "Man, that's a big sacrifice. It's his death." But you know what? If he's a willing sacrifice, God said, "I know how to see thousands saved, maybe." And you would never see all those saved. And you know what? I bet you right up now and up in heaven, Don Moore sitting up there as part of the heavenly cloud of witnesses saying, "Man, I was glad I did that. 5 people got saved this morning. 10 people got—" I don't know. I haven't heard yet what happened in that service. We prayed for it this morning. But you know what? All kinds of people, thousands of people have seen that. It was on the news. It was on the web. It was on everywhere, this story. And you know what? It might lead to some souls who had never gotten saved. That man gave his life. But you know what? He gave his life way more worthy than a lot of people who hold on to their life and their dreams and what they want to do. Let me tell you, when you just say, "Lord, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, whatever you want to do with my life, God, it's a willing sacrifice. And if that means I live to be 80 and reach people in America, that's fine. That means I die at 30 doing your work. If it means I'm Jim Elliot dying, trying to reach those people so that our wives can go in and reach those people after us, I'm a willing sacrifice. If I'm those two missionary couple I read about in the Hebrides Islands who land on the islands, they met the natives killed them, took them and ate them within 45 minutes of their arrival, that was their entire ministry. Except for the next missionary said, "The blood of the martyrs is spilled on that island, it's ours." And went in, and the islands are Christian islands now. And they said, "Hey, we're going to let our ministry last 45 minutes, but it's a willing sacrifice. I'm willing to do this to let those people be reached." And if we will say, "God, whatever, I don't know what my life's worth. I don't know if I have any talent. I don't know what I can do, God. But Lord, it's a willing sacrifice. Have at it." You know, God can take that little 5 loaves and 2 fishes and do great things with you. But if you hold on to it, yes, you may keep your dream till you die, but you will not find that you accomplish a whole bunch. When you breathe your last breath, you're going to say, "I wish I would have sacrifice my life for God and said, 'Here it is, Lord. I wonder what he would have done if I would have willingly sacrificed myself.' I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is in your reasonable service. And when they willingly sacrifice to the Lord brought the victory." Let's bow for prayer. Father, I pray to be people who willingly sacrifice our time, our money, our prayer, our friends, our family, our own lives, what little things we might possess, what little skills we might have. Maybe our only thing we can sacrifice is we can clean good, and we're going to clean up after church, but that's my willing sacrifice. I don't know, Lord, what you want from each one of us, but I pray it's everything given to you. And whatever you want to do with us, Lord, whether it's great pain and sacrifice, or we're going to suffer a very devastating, painful sacrifice like this man did down in Rainier this week, according to your plan, or whether it's going to be something that we don't even know we really gave to you because you didn't take it from us. I pray all of us, Lord, would say, "I'm a willing sacrifice. Take it, Lord." I pray it'd be a willing sacrifice for you. Call each one of us, Lord. Talk to each one of us. And help each one of us to be a willing sacrifice, a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. That's our reasonable service. In Jesus' name, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.